If you have your Bibles this morning, turn with me to the book, first of all, of Ecclesiastes, Ecclesiastes chapter 12, and then Luke chapter number 16. Ecclesiastes chapter number 12 and Luke chapter 16. Up until this morning, about 8 o'clock, I thought that I was going to be in the book of Joshua again, and God willing, we will be in the book of Joshua tonight. Joshua was 85 years old, and he said, give me this mountain. And I'm going to preach tonight on mountain men. Amen. God will help me, so I hope you'll come back for that. I'm excited about that. But then this morning, the Lord directed my heart as we're in this Memorial Day weekend. I was looking at, and I'm not going to slam anybody. I'm not doing it to do that. But it is the truth. I was looking where one of our elected officials was being hammered for just putting out an announcement saying, enjoy the long weekend. In other words, Memorial Day was really just a long weekend, just another holiday. And to be honest with you this morning, that's all it's going to be for a lot of people is a beer and a hamburger and a hot dog and a picnic. And a family gathering. I'm not against the family gathering. Don't get me wrong. Amen. But I'm just telling you that this long weekend, that's all it'll be for some people. And Tuesday morning, it'll be over. We've been asked tomorrow at 3 o'clock to stop what we're doing and remember. And I believe that would be healthy. And pray. Remember that we need God. We need Him in our country. We need Him in our homes. We need Him in our church. I hope our Lord never gets the idea that we don't need Him around here because we need Him. Amen. We need Him. Brother Steve's involved heavily in the Harmony Mission. For that mission to be what God wants it to be, they need Him. For Salvation Army to be what God wants it to be, we need Him. For our Sunday School to be what God wants it to be, we need Him. For each one of us as Christians to be what God wants us to be, we need Him. Stand in reverence to the Word of God with me, please. It's a joy to have you with us this morning. Some folk, this is the first service back since COVID set in, and we're just grateful to have you back. Others we haven't seen in a long time, and we're just thankful that you're here. It's a new beginning. 8 years, Mother's Day, this church made the mistake of letting me be their pastor. Amen. 8 years ago. And I'm still trying to get over it. Amen. Work through it. I love this church. But I'm going to tell you something else. This church loves me. And I appreciate that. By this shall all men know you're my disciples, when you have love one toward another. Amen. Amen. That's why that I can tell Miss Eve this morning, when I looked at that look on her face when I was asking people to come to the choir, have you men been married long? Have you seen that look before? And I know my people love me. And when I do make a mistake, they'll forgive me. Amen. And I appreciate the Lord. I really do. Verse number 1 of chapter number 12. I'll try not to be before you long this morning. Chapter 12, verse number 1, Ecclesiastes. If you found your place, say amen. I want to read two words. Remember now. Do you see those two words? Remember now. Turn with me, if you will, please, to the book of Luke in chapter number 16. Luke chapter number 16 and verse number 25. I want to read two words. The Word of God said here, son, remember. Do you see those two words right there? Son, remember. Remember now. Son, remember. If I'm understanding the Word of God correctly, we're all going to remember. For some, it's going to make a difference in their life here and in their eternity. And for others, they're going to remember, but it's going to be too late when they remember. Remember now. Son, remember. You can be seated. Pray for us, please. Father, thank you this morning for your people. Thank you for your Spirit. Thank you, God, for those that are visiting with us today. Thank you for those, Lord, that have made their way back after this long mess that we've been through for a year. I pray that others, our Father, would make their way back to the house of God. I'm concerned about some, Lord. Lord, I pray that you'd work in their hearts and help them, strengthen them. I pray, dear Father, today that what's said and done would bring honor and glory to you and would stir our hearts. God, help us, Lord, that we might understand, know, and do your will till you come. In Jesus' precious name, and all of God's people said, amen. Amen. I want to give you just a little bit what's in my heart. The Bible said we can remember now, or the Word of God said, but now. It uses that phrase. Abraham said, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime had thy good things, likewise Lazarus evil things, but now. Remember now, but now. Just two little words. Son, remember. I thought it interesting when I looked up the word remember, that in the Word of God, the first time the Word of God is mentioned, the word remember in the Word of God, the first time it's mentioned, is in Genesis chapter number 8 and verse number 1. God had destroyed the earth with a flood. And the Word of God, it was because of sin. Judgment had to come because of sin. But Noah and his wife and his sons and their wives were spared. You say, Pastor, why were they spared? Because of the ark? Actually, they were spared because they believed God. And they built the ark because they believed God. Noah, being warned of God, moved with fear and prepared an ark to the saving of his house. But I thought it interesting that the first time the word remember is used in the Word of God, it's where God remembered Noah. I want to say this to you this morning. You may have come through those doors and your mind may not have been on him. But I can promise you this. His mind is on you. He's remembering you. When he went to Calvary and gave his life, you and I were on his heart and were on his mind. And I don't know about you, but that means something to me. The next time the word remember is when God had told Noah, he put his bow, the rainbow, in the sky. In chapter 9 and verse 15, he said, I will remember my covenant. And God said, I'm not going to destroy the earth this way anymore. He said, well, shoo, that's good. No, the next time it's destroyed, it's going to be with fire. The Bible said the heavens and the earth are going to melt with fervent heat. And so judgment came and judgment will come. And when we remember, makes all the difference in the world. Amen. This weekend we have set aside, it used to be in the history of our country, Decoration Day, when they would decorate the graves of the fallen. And it was changed to Memorial Day, and it was used to be the 30th all the time, and now it's that last Monday in the month, and it does make for a longer weekend, and it's kind of a kickoff to summer, so to speak, in the celebration. But I'm afraid that we're living in a country, beloved, listen, that is not remembering what God wants us to remember. We're going to face Him one day. Amen. And God wants us to remember that. The Bible said in Psalm 20 and verse number 7, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. You say, Pastor, why did you mention that this morning? It's a simple message this morning. I am for a strong military. Amen. I believe that
that you do achieve peace through strength. I believe that is the right position to be in. But as Americans, listen, our trust should never be just in a military. It ought to be in the man, Christ Jesus, the one that's the mediator between God and man, the only one, beloved. Listen, you can see in the book of Joshua even, and in the Old Testament over and over, where the children of Israel will outnumber, the children of Israel will outman. But what makes the difference is having God on your side, amen. That's what makes the difference, and that's what's going to make the difference in the end. There's two things that we cannot afford to forget. In chapter number 12 of Ecclesiastes, in verse number 1, it said, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." I don't have the statistics in front of me, but recently I was reading, and most people come to Christ well before the age of 20 years old. The percentage is very high. And as you go through life, those percentages just drop and drop and drop and drop. I was telling my wife the other day, we were talking about a man that lives on Carter's Valley. Well, he used to. He's in heaven now. He and his wife trusted Christ. He was a military man, hardened in a lot of ways. But I'm going to tell you something right now. God has never met a heart that he couldn't soften. It doesn't matter how hard it is, amen. And God broke through in that man's life. And three men, actually it was two 66 years old and one 67 years old, Brother Mike, in one summer down there at Liberty Baptist Church. That is a miracle of God, amen. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Here's what I mean. You can remember now in the days of your youth, or the longer you forget, the harder it is to remember the things of God and to act upon the things that God wants you to act upon. There's two things in the Word of God that we cannot afford to forget. Turn with me again to Luke chapter number 16. Luke chapter number 16. This may be an unusual text for Memorial Day, but it is exactly where God is leading me. Let me just say something that's in my heart. I believe this. I don't know why that God put this on my heart. Many of you men have been in battle. You know what it's like for the bullets to be flying over your head and the bombs to be landing all around you. You know what it's like to not know for sure whether you'll ever sleep in your bed back in the United States again. Many have told me that thank God for a praying mama and a praying daddy and somebody that lifted them up to prayer. But listen, we're talking about this weekend, men that have given their lives. I just wonder, listen to me, I just put myself on the battlefield. I've never been in the military, but I just put myself in my mind out there in a foxhole somewhere. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, I believe them scriptures would come back to you that you learned as a kid. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Here's my point. I wonder how many men died, and when they left the United States of America, people would have thought, well, he ain't nothing but an old boy that drinks, an old boy that's wild. But you let the bullets go to flying and the bombs go to landing, and a mama on her knees back here in the United States of America. Now I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost can do a work right there in a foxhole before they ever left this world. I'm just telling you, I believe we're going to meet some men in heaven, but were not Christians when they left this soil. But thank God Almighty, in the middle of the battle, they looked up and said, "Oh God, remember me." There was a thief that hung alongside of Jesus on the cross. And listen, he's dying and he knows it. And he looks over and changes his mind about who Christ is. And he says, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." I'm telling you, beloved, listen. There's two things that God's put on my heart in this story that we cannot afford to forget. The Bible said here in Luke chapter 16 and verse 19, "There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and he fared sumptuously every day." The Bible said there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, Let me just stop and say this, beloved. You can believe what you want to. But I've read this Bible, and I've studied some, and I believe that when you're looking at parables, you'll never find the Lord using a proper name. I do not believe this is a parable. What I'm telling you is this is a literal rich man and a literal beggar. It's not just the story to make the point, say amen, and I'm not belittling the parables, because when Jesus told a story to make a point, the point needed to be made. This is a literal rich man and Lazarus, the Bible said, which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring. It kind of reminds me of Job when he was covered with boils from the top of his head to the full of sores. The Word of God said, could you imagine, listen to me, we get sick. I remember it ain't been too many years ago. I just got a place on my arm. I got concerned about it. It didn't look good. Those that looked at it said, you better go to the doctor. I went to the doctor, and they took a sample of it. And I was kind of expecting the worst. They said, you've been working in the water anywhere? I said, yeah, for about 3 months. And it was some kind of a bacteria that was in that pond that I was working in. And I'd actually, Brother Gary, wore a blister on my arm operating that backhoe out here where your armrest sits. That thing would be hot in that sun. And I'd wore a blister on my arm right there where it rested, and it got infected. And thank God that was good news. Amen. But Brother Steve, what I'm trying to say is I can't imagine being covered in sores like that. It was concerning. The only comfort that he got was the dogs would come along and lick his sores. The Bible said he desired to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. You ought to underline two words in that text. Carried or buried. If you and I die today, we'll either be carried or buried. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? That for the Christian, the Bible said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. We'll be carried into the presence of God Almighty. The Bible said, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments. That's plural. And he seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Let me point something out right here, beloved, and I'll get to the message. I'm telling you, the first thing that he was concerned about in hell was the last thing that he was concerned about on earth, and that was his stinking self. You're a miserable man. You're a miserable woman. If all you're ever concerned about in this world is your stinking self, what's he begging for? Let me show you. What's he begging for? Oh, he don't want a bottle of water. He don't even want a cap full of water. He just wants a drop. Just a drop. Just a drop of water is all the rich man wants. Just a drop. Put it on my tongue. Cool my tongue. I'm tormented in this flame. You say, Pastor, what's that got to do with Memorial Day? I'm going to tell you something right now. There were men and there were women that paid the price that we can fly that flag and salute that Christian flag and carry this word of God and get on our knees and pray and come in here and preach the gospel. But I'm telling you this, beloved, there was one that died on an old rugged cross. He didn't just set me free in America. He set me free from sin. The penalty of sin. Wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember. Son, remember. No doubt, Brother Ralph, Some of those soldiers, they left here unsaved, and they died unsaved. I want to think in my heart and in my mind and thank God that some of them said yes to the Savior. Some of them left here with the Savior. Some of them left here serving God, amen, and went on to serve their country. You say, Pastor, what's going to make the difference in eternity? Is it going to be whether you was a soldier for the United States? Beloved, listen, I believe there'll be a reward for the Christian that served as a soldier in the United States. But I'll tell you what's going to make the difference, beloved, is whose side you were on in that eternal army. Are you going to be on the Lord's side? That's what the Word of God said. Who is on the Lord's side? He said, Pastor, I don't know why y'all have church every Sunday night and every Wednesday night. Because we just want the world to know we're on the Lord's side. Amen. But we're on the Lord's side. The Bible said, Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. Give you two things and I'm done. Here we go. You ready? There's two things we can't afford to forget. Number one, the goodness of God. There's not a person in here. I don't care what your background is. I don't care where you're from. I don't care what your situation is right now. But there's not one person in here that I could not look you square in your God-given eyeballs and tell you God has been good to you. God has been good to you. I said God has been good to you. You had something to eat. You got something to wear. You got a place to live. And I'm going to tell you what, you hang around here, you'll have a bunch of people that love on you. That'll welcome you. You say, Pastor, what are you trying to say? He's saying, son, remember. The first thing he wants him to remember is this. Back yonder, when you were rich, you had your good things. You know where good things come from? Brother Larry, I know you know. Every good and perfect gift comes down from above. Some people realize that and some don't. Some will say, well, look what I've accomplished. I'm going to tell you something right now. You need to remember who gave you the hands. You need to remember who gave you the brain. You need to remember who gave you the feet. You need to remember, beloved, who let you be born in the greatest nation that's ever been on the face of the earth. Beloved, listen. I'm just telling you. America is not supposed to be. That's what it's turning into. It's not supposed to be about giving everybody everything. It's supposed to be about an opportunity. That's what America's supposed to be about. An opportunity to work, an opportunity to excel, an opportunity to serve God, an opportunity to serve your brothers and sisters. And so the first thing that we cannot afford to forget is God's goodness. I'm not going to take the time to read all the scriptures, but if you'll go back over to Psalm 106 with me for just a moment. Psalm 106. Let me remind you of a verse of scripture in the book of Romans. The Bible said, the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Now listen to me. There's a lot of preaching went on through the years, and I've done some of it. You know, there was a time when I wouldn't dare do this. But let me tell you something I've learned about my Heavenly Father. He don't always use that. He can. He has. God will chasten those that He loves. But I'm going to tell you what He does more times than not. He smothers us with His love. He makes us so ashamed of ourselves that we run back to Him. Say, God, I don't like this. I don't like this distance. I don't like this darkness. I want to get back in that light and serve You the way I once did. That's what God will do. Now, what I'm trying to say is this. The goodness of God does not only lead sinners to repentance, but it leads the saints to repentance as well. And beloved, listen. Oh, I love it. Brother John, God just brought it back to my heart and mind. I think it was Brother Mitchell said, if you've ever repented, you're still repenting. I like it. If you've ever been to Calvary and been saved by the grace of God, surely you can recognize there's times we just don't do right. Times we don't think right. Times we don't speak right. Times we don't behave right. And we need to come to God and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Boy, what a blessing that is. Look in Psalm 106 quickly. The Bible said here in verse number 9, He rebuked the Red Sea also. It was dried up. So He led them through the depths and through the wilderness. And He saved them from the hand of him that hated them. By the way, beloved, if you haven't noticed, there's a group of people in America that hate us. They hate our guts. They hate our Bible. They hate our churches. Listen to me. It was an opportunity way back yonder to shut us down. Say amen. Oh, thank God for the governor we've got. I'd have hated to went through this year living under some of that mess in Michigan and California and Illinois and New York. There's that look again. Y'all pray for me. You want me to name the governor's names? I can do that too. What are you saying, preacher? Watch. Then they believed his words. They sang his praise. But look at verse 13. They soon forgot his works. They waited not for his counsel. Look at verse 21. They forgot God, their Savior, which had done great things in Egypt. You know what's been eroding for years in America? We're forgetting. I promise you this. When Pearl Harbor happened, there was a lot of people in America remembered. Say amen. I promise you this, for a few days, maybe a couple of weeks, when those planes flew into those towers in New York, America remembered. Not too many days, the bickering starts all over again. You wonder in these days what it'll take to get us once again to stand alongside of each other, don't matter if we're red or yellow, black or white, and say we're Americans. We love America. They forgot. And when they forgot, listen to me carefully, they murmured. Around the church, you find somebody that's murmuring and complaining, and I'll show you somebody that's forgot. Forgot where God found them. Forgot what they deserve. The gospel tract's at the printers now. How are you doing? My dad's answer was this, better than I deserve. And you and I are better than we deserve this morning. We're in the house of God, hearing the Word of God. Two things we cannot afford to forget. Number one, God's goodness. That's enough of that. Let me move on quickly. The second thing is God's grace. You say, Pastor, I don't understand. In Luke chapter 16, in these verses that you're reading, how you can even begin to see the grace of God. Well, let me tell you something right now. Lazarus is in Abraham's bosom because of the grace of God. The rich man, listen to me, he remembers the goodness of God. You can say whatever you want to, but Brother Steve, I believe it's evident he remembers the grace of God because he's saying, send Lazarus, I got five brothers, they're headed here, and the only way they won't come here is if God intervenes and the grace of God. Send him. Tell him. Watch this now. I see the grace of God. He said, if they believe not Moses and the prophets, It's a grace of God that you and I get to hear the Word of God week after week after week. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. It's the grace of God. Beloved, this morning, there's two things that in this great country we live in this wonderful church I have the privilege to pastor, we cannot afford to forget, Brother Larry, God's goodness and God's grace. I believe as we set out into a brand new year, you say, preacher, it's June, it's not January. It's a brand new year for me. It's a brand new opportunity. You say, pastor, there are going to be some obstacles. So what? You reckon there was any obstacles when they crossed the Red Sea? You reckon there was any obstacles when they crossed the Jordan River? You know what? Some of God's people understand that God's bigger than the obstacle. There are going to be some problems along the way. So what? I serve a God that's bigger than any problem that I can or cannot see. I'm excited today. I believe that God wants to use two phrases and help us this weekend. Remember now. Young people, I'll meet with you in just a few moments and your parents. Don't wait. Remember now. Brother Steve, I was so proud sitting there this morning that our young people got to see these men and got to see this presentation. Some of it I've never seen before. And I'm 61 years old. I was so thankful, Brother Jim, for just the exposure. Because I'll tell you what, we're living in a world that don't want to expose this. They want to bury it. Thank God for our veterans. Thank God for the men and women that love this country enough. Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Isaiah said, then said I, here am I. Send me. Did you know God's asking the same thing today? Whom shall I send? Listen to me carefully. Some of you a while ago, when I made mention of that, giving out the flyers in Bible school, and Brother Steve made the announcement about the need for workers, some of you took that right down into your heart, and you're already wondering, what could I do? How could I help? But let me just be honest. Some of you, it went in one ear and right out the other. Somebody will do it, long as it ain't me. You say, pastor, that's mean. No, that's just the truth. You say, pastor, why would you tell us the truth like that? Because pastor realizes the blessing you're missing by not being involved in the work of God. Caleb's 85. I thought about you, Brother Grizzle. He's getting close to 85. Caleb didn't say, Joshy, if you don't care, son, find me a place to quit. No, he looked over at Hebron and said, give me this mountain. You want to know why he wanted that mountain? I'll tell you why. Listen, because Moses promised it to him. We ought to want everything God has promised to us this morning. Amen. I'm just glad you come.